The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
I heard you wanna chat with your girl, chat with your girl, chat with your girl, chat. Business and beauty, come and confess how you make your money and say yes to the guest.
What's up, guys? We have a fun guest today, Miss Jazzy, BuzzFeed superstar, the host of Mentally I'm Here, plus as fashionista, a badass bitch.
Oh,
you are just such a ray of sunshine. Every time I see you, first of all, you're very supermodel tall. You have like the biggest smile, the sickest fashion. So it's like literally impossible to miss you.
Honey. Who am I talking to? Jeez, I think it's that energy we bring where we don't even have to talk. We walk into the room, we connect eyes, and we're like, bitch, we're here. We're doing
literally,
it.
Literally. Welcome to Say Yes to the Guest. Like, yes. I give so many yeses to you. You're so successful to me, and I just love the energy that you have been able to output online, which is just so powerful and so amazing. Like, do you know when we met?
We met, oh my gosh. When did we meet?
Was it a BuzzFeed gig?
That's what,
or was
I
it
know.
An event? It's been like probably, and we've done so many, we've like seen, was it a red carpet in passing at the studio?
Yeah. I feel like it was at an event first.
Okay.
And then from there, mm-hmm. we did BuzzFeed stuff, and then we've seen each other just since, except with the pandemic. I haven't seen you in so long.
I know. It's been a minute. I have to have you up in the kiki.
Yes.
Can you tell everybody about like your start and how you like launched Confidence and Jazzy onto the internet?
Oh, damn. Yes. Moved out here from the good old Midwest. Was looking for community, was looking for people who are different, you know, in general, and found that in LA, went to FITM downtown, studied merchandise marketing, though I wasn't bad at it, but I hated it. There's like this very niche part of merchandise marketing called like trend forecasting. And that was my shit. But to get to there, I had to do all this Excel work and math. I'm so bad at math. So from there, I graduated. I worked at Sephora, started on that damn fragrance wall. And then somehow saw myself just applying at BuzzFeed. I went in there with literally no technical skills whatsoever, a 25-year-old intern. That was the start of something I had no damn clue about. I started being in videos, which actually was funny because I wasn't trying to be into videos when I first started there. I didn't get into videos until I was maybe 6 months in, and I just made a lot of content. Then I started being into videos and started just showing up being myself. I saw BuzzFeed being very like, the lesbians were serving flannel, you know?
Very much.
the flannel, the beanies. And I was like, I can't compute that. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to show up for queer people, lesbians, whatever you are, that like love fashion, that loves makeup. That loves
back when BuzzFeed was like one channel,
right? Literally.
Yeah.
Literally.
And then it made more sense when it broke off into the different sections.
So much more sense.
Yeah. Which was so cool. Mm-hmm. Did you learn a lot at BuzzFeed that helps to your personal brand today? Because I like what I love talking about with people is like their like personal growth, personal mm-hmm. branding. And I feel like you didn't really apply or conform to any institution. You were like, I'm just gonna show up and be my fucking self, and that you did.
Which, and you know, that's hard to do anywhere in society, mm-hmm. in social media, at your job. That's hard to do in general. And I think because I didn't go into BuzzFeed being like, I want to be a star, that I went in being able, like, I wanted to learn. I was having to humble myself and be taught things from people that are like 5 years younger than me, you know, like I was really, really just a hard worker. The personality stuff, that wasn't why I was there. So I was just like, I'm going to go in here and be me. And then turns out that popped off.
Being such a standout unicorn in terms of your growth, did you ever like deal with imposter syndrome at all?
Definitely. I think when it comes to like even being associated or knowing like you, knowing people that I've looked up to and being like even able to say hello, like, you know, you look around, you see your friends doing so many dope stuff. And I'm never really someone to be like, why isn't that me? I'm more so someone that's like, I look at them and I'm like, fuck yes. Now I'm like, how do I get there too? And then that ends up putting pressure on me in a different way. So a little bit impostery of like, what the fuck am I doing here?
Yeah, but also lights a fire in your ass to like meet the energy in the room.
Exactly.
Yeah, I see that. It's so funny because when I first came to LA, like I remember going to an event and I remember my my friend worked at the mall and I was working at Mac in the mall and he had gifted me like an Armani bag and I was like, oh my God, like a real purse. Whoa. And then I get to LA and I remember very well known, like everyone would know who these girls are. And I remember everyone was like, oh my God, let's put all our YSLs on the bag and take a pic. And I was like, oh, what's a YSL? You know, fucking idea what a YSL was. And I like sat on my little Armani bag and like pushed it back. Meanwhile, all these very famous beauty influencers that everyone can name was just like snapping the pile of YSLs at the W in Hollywood. And I was like, am I allowed to even be sitting with these girls right now? Like not bitches in a bad way, but these badass bitches. Like, I don't know. I'm like this gay, brown, plus size man with a scarf on his head. It's like, this is just so fucked up. And I think to this day, like, I don't think imposter syndrome will ever go away. It's just a matter of dealing with you and not being frustrated with the things around you. So that's something that I had to like deal with. And just facing the music, but the mirror too at the same time.
Yeah. And I definitely think, I mean, you just named it like brown, plus size, in the community. Like there are so many minority aspects to you, to me, to so many people that like it's very hard to walk into a room in general feeling your damn self because there's just so many different things to you that can affect you, you know, and really, especially being in like raised in like not for me, like not diverse areas, it's that balance between imposter syndrome and trauma that I'm like, not sure which one it is, but I feel weird.
What's so interesting, like listening to your journey that you talked about in the beginning was that you pretty much displaced yourself from an environment and allowed yourself to be an environment to foster who you really wanted to be. And an analogy that I have a lot is like people as plants and the plants flourishing in an environment that allows them to bloom or blossom. That's like an analogy that I have.
I love that.
And so for you to like go to FITM or go to LA to find people that you could relate to, do you feel like that helped you become who you are?
Hands down, completely. I feel like it's really weird. And the more that I like work through my childhood stuff in my community growing up, just knowing that I felt different, even though it wasn't like thrown in my face, like I did not have like bullies, like people like calling me big or calling me fat or calling me like racist names. I didn't have that, but it was always this like underlying something, you know, where I was like trying to emulate, trying to like not straighten my hair and buy the clothes that my friends are having. And it was just so weird. And then I look now, being in LA, like doing the damn thing, seeing, you know, I always say when you come to LA, like you can see somebody walking down the street that looks 10 times better than you and someone who looks 10 times more tore up than you do. And like, no one's going to hear about it at the end of the day. And that's like my favorite part about LA is that it's just, you can be you, you know, mm-hmm. But working through that now and recognizing all that stuff that I was keeping in as a kid and seeing myself like truly blossom when I came out here, it definitely, it's made all the impact.
Yeah. And I know people that are listening, like, could probably say, well, fuck, I can't afford to move to LA right now, or I can't move out. But I feel like growing up, I mean, obviously, I have a good relationship with my parents, and mm-hmm. so do you. But I know a lot of people don't have that. But I feel like the littlest things can really affect your mood that I brought into my adulthood today. Like, yes. Simply cleaning my room, making my bed, mm-hmm. Just keeping my kitchen and my bathroom, like, in order, like, allows me to have, like, more of a positive, organized space mm-hmm. for me to really think clearly. Because I think growing up, I really didn't have the environment that I had to foster and fully be Patrick Starr. And that yeah. included friends and family. Once upon a time, my parents weren't as aware of what I was becoming.
Yeah.
And it was uncomfortable, but that's called growth. And mm-hmm. also my friends that are now no longer friends of mine that really didn't understand. So a part of that, what's hitting you?
Oh my gosh, honey, that is probably since COVID started, that has been the toughest lesson that I have gone through.
Which
is
one?
Letting go of people that have been in my life for a very long time, that loved and accepted me when I was my most insecure self. And now that I am loud and speaking up about things, that I was getting a little bit of pushback in ways that I'm like, this is nothing you push back on. And
let's get specific. Are these high school friends? Are these family relatives? Are these like who, like what types of people are there? Let's point them out.
Yes. I think, when everything, obviously COVID happening, but also when things were very intense involving Black Lives Matter and the Black community, family, high school friends for sure, college friends for sure, people that like helped raise me. It's just, I've been through so much for having to cut off those ties. It is the hardest thing I've gone through. I hate that.
What does a process of letting someone go to you take? Because for me, like, I think just growing up Filipino, I see the best in people. And I've been hurt over yeah. and over and over again. But the older I get, I feel like the tolerance and my patience gets shorter and yep. shorter and shorter. Because I think when we're younger, we're like, okay, we can let them do 10 shitty things to me
yes.
as a teenager. Right? 10, 20, 30 things. Because, you know, uh-huh. we're still in the same class for the whole year.
Uh-huh.
Then when you're in college, okay, well, this bitch is like my bar buddy or
right.
like, are going out. Like, I'll give them 5 strikes and they're out. Now that I'm 31, about to be 32, I'm like, this bitch has one motherfucking chance to fuck it up and mm-hmm. you're out the door.
Yep.
Does that ring true?
Oh,
like,
my
our patience
gosh.
Gets, like, shorter.
Absolutely. And it's, I'm very similar to you where, to be honest, for the majority of my life, I was letting people cross my boundaries and not speaking up about things, myself, anything really, because I was afraid to make things uncomfortable for other people. Even though I was uncomfortable, I'm always the person that's like, I'm going to put everything on my back so no one else has to deal with it, you know? And it got to a point this past year and a half where I was like, actually my partner was like, no, you cannot do that. And I was like, okay, I think you're right. I really can't do that. What kind of fake friendship relationships am I having with people if I have to be this person?
Mm-hmm. Do you know where I think the cutoff is of who feels these emotions of being compliant, or what is compliant even? Like complying with rules and traditions are millennials. I think millennials are the most fucked up. Because
I agree.
I think we're the most fucked up. Like, if you, like, you're a millennial, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, me too. So I feel like us listening to parents and or executives and or what is white power, or like, you know, like executive people, like, you know, we want to comply to survive.
Yeah.
But now that the world is so different and we're seeing Gen Z owning who they are, it's like, well, shit, this is, I could be a bad bitch now. Like, even in the LGBTQ community and, you know, with trans, you know, young individuals, they're just so confident. But I feel like that wouldn't have happened if it weren't for social media.
And us.
And us, yes, yes, true.
Though we walked so Gen Z could fucking fly, honey.
You sound like a millennial.
It's the damn truth. We've it been is. Working our asses off for true. Representation.
Yeah.
And bless it be, because Gen Z can live and be who the fuck they want. But don't get it twisted. Like, our parents and everybody who's older, they were, just like you said, they were putting their heads down, working because they had to work, not because this is what made them happy. They right. needed to provide. They right. needed to do all that stuff. And we saw, I mean, this is how I feel, at least. I see and saw my parents do that. And my goal when I came out to LA was like, I will work in a job that I love, because I have seen my parents, I've been raised around my parents doing jobs for money's sake and not for their sake. And right. I think for us to start like putting our foot down and being like, no, this is what we deserve. No, we need to be paid equally. No, this is what I deserve to be paid. No, this is the representation we need. Yeah. I think we set that little stage up for these Gen Zs.
Yeah, I think so. It's just so incredible to see like this shift and this power happen.
Mm-hmm.
But social media definitely has
completely
played, like, a huge part. All right, y'all, it's time to secure the blur with the One Size Beauty Primer. If you guys didn't know, I have a beauty brand, and shameless plug, I'm just here to tell you about my freaking favorite primer. And the reason why I want to shout out this primer, because it is so gorgeous, because there is niacinamide, witch hazel, and microspheres that blur the skin. Niacinamide literally helps keep the texture at bay. It's found in skincare ingredients, but for One Size, it's infused in the primer, just because I want you guys to beat that face, but also feel good about putting makeup on. Because sometimes I feel like the beat face era has been so skeptical, because now we're like wearing masks and we're afraid to cake the face and beat the face, just because we don't know what our mask acne is gonna do to us. But when you have a good primer and a good base and good skincare, obviously, like, your skin can just flourish, and your makeup techniques and your makeup artistry can just flourish because of a beautiful primer like this. And you don't have to be a full beat face makeup wearer to try this primer. Secure the Blur literally does what it says: secure and blur your beat face and skin. Like, for me, on days off where I don't wanna wear so much makeup, like liquid foundation, concealer, I'll just wear this with my Turn Up the Base powder foundation, which is really, really gorgeous too. But if you guys haven't checked it out, be sure to check out Secure the Blur Primer at onesizebeauty.com. And for you all here listening, get 20% off your entire order using the code YAS20, YAS20. So 20% off your entire order at onesizebeauty.com. All for you, only here. It's literally such an exclusive code that I am offering to all of my listeners out there, just because I love you guys so much. And I never thought I would be having a podcast shouting out my own products. So it's 2022, time to level up. Here we are. Check it out. Secure the Blur. Yes, 20 on your order at onesizebeauty.com. And don't forget, makeup is a one size fits all.
Hi, I'm Pia Barangini, the creative director of LPA, an entrepreneur, a wife, and a dog mom based in Los Angeles. This is my new podcast, Everything is the Best, where we basically ask interesting people, how did you go from zero to yacht? I'm always curious how the hell people became successful, and I figured you would be too. Get on the internet with me. Let's laugh, let's cry, let's overshare, and let's get inspired to live our best lives. Check out new episodes every Wednesday. It's all for you, baby. Thanks for listening. Love you, mean it.
I want to ask too, you having a partner and like learning like your building blocks, I think the millennial mind in me says like, have your shit together, finish college, then get married. You know, it's very that like order. But yeah. You happen to have a partner and you're still growing and you're learning.
Yes.
So did you have to get over that? Be like, I'm not perfect, but this bitch wants to fuck with me.
Yeah, so yeah, yeah.
I'm a step up to the plate.
Yes. You know?
What is that like? Because I feel like I'm battling that too. Because sometimes I feel like I don't have my entire 100 picture perfect shit together as a millennial. And I want to be like totally ready, mentally ready, physically, financially, emotionally, mentally ready. But it's just so much fucking shit to take care of at the same time.
Yeah, and I agree with you. I also think that's something that we've either silently learned from our parents or we were told that from our parents, you know, to be prepared, to have savings, to have this, to have that because of their fears. When in all reality, like, obviously, I would love to have hundreds of millions of dollars before I have kids, you know, but like that shit doesn't. You're never going to be ready.
Yeah, but at the expense, I think with what they were trying to pass on to us sounded storybook and sounded great, but at the expense of happiness.
Yeah.
But one thing I forgot to mention earlier was that I feel like people through social media, I feel like through Pinterest, that are living their traditional lives, you know, according to what they want and live, like, you know, family, kids, married, house, this and that.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm seeing a shift in people's portrayal of their lives through creative duality where they have their traditional job, but they find happiness in things, whether that's being fashionable or dressing up their children or decorating their homes. Like they're finding fulfillment and happiness and balancing their traditional, you know, jobs with something that fulfills them. Whether that's we're seeing cooking pop off on TikTok, mukbangs, fashion, athleisure. You know, there's so much shit.
True.
Like DIY stuff, I think is popping because people are wanting to find a purpose and pair happiness to a purpose that they're able to participate in.
Completely, and especially that. All that purpose, but also that kind of like individuality purpose. You know, because on a whole, the whole like two kids, white picket fence, blah, 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 blah. That's so wide and broad that it needs to be a little bit more niche to feel a little bit more complete. But like you were saying, I mean, me and my partner, we moved in with each other at the beginning of COVID. We dated for about a year and a half before we moved in. And this year we moved out from one another.
No way.
And we each got our own apartments. We're like 30 minutes away from each other. And that was very, very hard for us to come to that conclusion, for us to explain to people because, you know, society loves their standards and their flaws.
standards and society. But is it working?
Oh,
like, how is it? Is it working?
My gosh. It is the best decision I have ever, like, done with someone in a relationship, period. They're a teacher, and so they had to teach ninth grade last year all from home. You know, and they're also just very, like, empathetic and worried of their children, you know, like, being okay. They have their own mental health journey. I went through a huge mental health journey last year, also working from home, also being in that weird space where work necessarily didn't stop. It even like ramped up even more, which is extremely privileged to have that type of problem, but also just exhausting because you didn't know when that work was gonna end or if it was gonna show up again, you know? We were just in a place where we were the only people we were seeing. We were terrified to leave. We were terrified for our families, and we were just out there just like mad at each other for no reason other than everything that was happening to us. Leaving each other and having our own spaces has been the most amazing thing I've done.
You know, a friend was telling me recently about love and like a partner, and they said, well, my friend's a scientist, and they were telling me that your endorphins and all that feel good hormones like pumps for 2 years, and that's why you're so in love with each other. And then after those 2 years, you know, the hormones just start evaporating or dissipating or whatever whatever he was saying. I wouldn't know because I don't have a partner, but I would assume that's where the word chemistry came from. literal chemistry and love.
Yes.
So listening to you and you saying the, I'm like doing the math in my fucking head. I'm like, okay, when and I when here is dating, when you're COVID, and then they moved out.
Yep.
But do you think that this allows you to kind of like miss each other and have stories to tell each other? It's like you're dating.
Completely. And that is exactly it. Because, you know, we went through a whole year of only seeing each other every moment, every day, not being able to miss each other whatsoever. And now it's like I get butterflies going to their apartment and being like, oh my gosh, I get to, like, it's special again, you know? And not to say that we're not gonna move in with each other again, but we will, knowing that we can both go to jobs and not be only working from home for a year and being terrified to breathe air outside.
A literal investment.
Yes.
That's cool. I mean, like, I'm like, now that I'm thinking too of my future husband and partner, I'm like, I think that sounds good. So I can have like my own space. He'll have his own space. And
it sounds
ideal.
It is pretty amazing. And we've even talked about, like, if we do move in with each other, like, we'll have our bedroom, then I'll have my bedroom, they'll have their bedroom. Like, we just
literal boundaries.
Yeah. Imagine.
With being an influencer online, like, how much did you decide to share? Like, it's so funny because every time I have a guest on it, I'm like kind of like asking subliminally for myself, like, how much do you share of like your relationship? And I, because we know, like, we have eyes on us, we're different, we're unconventional, people are looking to us for advice. But for someone like you that's unconventional and different and having a partner and having this unique relationship, how much do you decide to share of that, and when?
Honestly, I am very just like, whatever the fuck I'm feeling, I'm gonna do. Like, that is, I if I want to share something, I'm gonna share it. If I don't, I won't, you know. I put us moving out from one another on TikTok, and it was like a lot, you know. People were like, well, you're never gonna move in with each other again, or you won't even make it. Or then there were people that were like, me and my partner have been married for 20 years and we live in separate houses. Like, you know, so I'm just like, especially with Kate being non-binary, being smaller than me, being different body size than me, I think also is important. I really don't think about it, but I know it is representational of just like, you can be in love no matter what your size is, no matter who you decide. Like, it's okay. Nothing has to be together a perfect way, you know. You can both be different, and that's fine.
So from sharing your life online, then and giving no fucks, what is it like sharing with your family?
They My family honestly finds out when the internet finds out.
Oh, really?
Pretty much. Unless there's, I mean, me and my mom, we talk like literally every day. So she will be informed about stuff, but I'm honestly pretty open online uh-huh. just as much as I am in real life with my family and my friends, you know? And it's, I think that's where I kind of find that power, you know, mm-hmm. with being truly myself, talking about my OCD, talking about my PTSD, talking about eating disorder stuff, talking about sex, talking about my partner, talking about me and loving myself and hating myself and la, 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 la. It just leaves me like, work-wise, you know what the fuck you're getting. Like, look at my feed. Look at it, you know? Like, I'm not going to show up and be anything else but all of that. You're going to see all the flaws. You're going to see me crying on an airplane because I'm scared, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's how it is. That's mm-hmm. how it is for me. I'm not good at putting on a face. I'm really mm-hmm. not. mm-hmm. So, yeah, I feel like I feel just a little bit of power in, like, if I want to share this, I will.
Right. It's so crazy because sometimes I'll be on coming out TikTok. Yes. And I'll be on there and seeing people, but it's so aspirational to have to see people confront their loved ones and mm-hmm. share the news with them. Mm-hmm. And I know a lot of people don't have such luck with families like that. I have a friend that is actually pretty much disowned by Oof. Their family, and it's just so sad. And I know that this person sees my life as a POC, yeah. a person of color, and someone that's successfully me in mm-hmm. my own identity. And just trying to think that and listening to you talk and be open. I feel like not more of a foolproof way of coming out is like writing, because sometimes sitting there with your father or your mom, or your mm-hmm. mom or dad that doesn't accept you. I just know people like that are unaccepting would not want to fucking hear it.
Yeah. But
do you think handing a letter and having them read it and say, let me know what you want to talk at the end helps?
You know what? One of my first friends who came out to their family wrote a letter to her mom. And at the time, I was like, what? Why would you do that? And obviously I was like 15 and stupid, because now I look back at it and I'm like, yeah, whatever way. See, I don't know. I think I started off very ignorantly as like a 20-year-old or something in college, where I was like, come on. Why wouldn't you be out? Blah, 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 blah. And since seeing different lives, different privileges, understanding my privilege, I'm kind of to the point now where I'm just like, what's important to me is your safety. Mm-hmm. So whatever rings you being safe is what I'm going to support you with, period. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I get some kids that are like, oh, like, I really want to come out, but if I say something, I don't know how this, and this, then fine. Don't. It's okay. Mm-hmm. You know, if you are wearing a little button inside your shirt that no one ever sees, or if you're marching in a damn pride flag down the street, it doesn't matter. And I'm always just like, whenever happens, you say something, you don't, you have a community here, period. Mm-hmm. And just know that, you know?
I think, you know, I have a personal funny story. Like, I remember growing up with Dare. D, mm-hmm. I won't do drugs. Ooh! I won't have no attitude.
Daring that little tiger lion little thing. Tiger
about drugs. I remember that in like elementary school. And I remember my mom was a heavy smoker growing up. Oh. And I remember she would you know, go outside and smoke. And this was when I was in like elementary/middle school. And I was like, I want her to stop smoking. You can get lung cancer and this and that. And I remember writing her like a little note and taping it to the cigarette box.
I bet that tore her the fuck up.
And then she quit. Yep. I think I was like 10 when she did that. And it was just so crazy. But I feel like, you know, especially older, I would like to shout out the boomer generation, the boomers. I feel like have a hard time listening because I feel like their way or the highway is their way, the right way. Mm-hmm. And I feel like maybe writing things like really helps. And I feel like as millennials, we write through our captions. Probably that's like our way of conveying our emotions.
Completely.
Yesterday was Mental Health Day. Today's National Coming Out Day. It's like everyone is just writing letters on letters to their self, to their people, to their followers in their captions. And I feel like writing is a form of literally conveying a very important message across to people that don't have that.
Whatever way you got to do it and be comfortable. If you want to share, go ahead.
I want to ask, like, you getting up in the morning, like, feel good, jazzy. Let's say you're going to go out, see your partner, or, I don't know, just be in a good mood. Like, what is the get-up routine for you? Not for morning. It just be like, I want to be in a good-ass mood. Like, for me, I blast my – I tell Alexa to play Mariah Carey. Like, in the morning, it's the same order. Wakes me up. I just have all my little Alexas around my apartment and they all play at the same time simultaneously.
Oh.
I'll make my bed. And then by the time it's My All or Boys to Men, then I know it's like time to get to work and go to the studios. But I think it's about like a 7-minute like routine from shower, shaving.
Oh my gosh. Bed. I'm trying to, like, my ideal best mornings are I wake up. I just started drinking coffee. Mm. So I have a little coffee. I am like, breakfast makes me happy. Okay. So whether I make breakfast or I go get a breakfast sandwich or something, 100%. And I'm up usually by like 7, maybe 7:30. So, and this is capitalism at its finest, but knowing that I'm up before I have to do something and being like, oh, I can lay on my couch an extra 30 minutes. Mm-hmm. I can watch this show that I missed last night because I was asleep. Those are like my favorite moments because I feel so good. I feel full. And I'm already starting out the day thinking of myself. Mm. You know, already getting that energy to know that I am more important than the work that I'm going to do. Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's good.
That's a big, big, big thing for me right there is that, you are more important than your work for sure.
I think I needed to hear that because I just posted a vlog about burning out. Like, my asthma was really bad, and I had to do the concealer campaign for One Size Beauty and Sephora, and I was, like, hooked up to my asthma machine and, like, just dying. But I think, like, when I was just, like, running, like, I didn't even realize to what extent I was tripping on myself because this is, like, everything that I've dreamed for as a little boy, you know, and as an influencer, and any influencer would dream of. And so
completely
at the expense of my own health.
Yeah.
And at the expense of my own importance.
Mm-hmm.
So it's crazy because I feel like the team like has the Patrick Morning Starter Pack.
Yeah.
And it's like a venti vanilla latte sugar free and then a sandwich wrap, if not McDonald's in the morning.
Yes.
Get the bitch out the door. You should see, like, coffee starts landing, breakfast starts landing on my makeup chair. Mariah's playing, if not Celia Cruz. And then they kind of like sheep herd my fat ass to the studio, like in the car, off the garage, into the studio. But I feel like it's important for people to have that routine in terms of obtaining success, not for just your job, but for your own mental health.
Something that I used to do when I was like in the grind and in the thick of it, which is truly always, just because of like work ethic in general. I feel like giving yourself time and days off consistently, weekly, rather than work. Okay, I'm going to take 4 days in 3 weeks and that'll be fine. Like adding it into my actual plan and adding it into my work weeks, it has been like a huge, huge change and shift for me, because I would just pack shit in, run around, not give myself time to relax or not even enough time to relax, and just have to be like, go, go, go. You're working. And that's not okay. That's not true. Like, I am helping people, but I'm not solving diseases. I'm not out here, you know.
You might be, though. The way you acted, you might be.
Right? Like, this post will be okay if it goes out tomorrow, because I am unwell right now doing this, you know? So having to set those boundaries and literally force myself to take time during the week, during the weekends consistently, has just helped so much to bring back the power and control into my life. Like, it's not going to be because this brand all of a sudden is like, yeah, actually, you need to get this in 3 hours. And I'm like, the fuck, I don't.
It was so funny. I have a funny story. So literally, it was like Fort Knox to get to me when I was in the hospital, like after the shoot. And it was like my I didn't even tell my parents. That's how embarrassed I was to even like admit to like being so weak. But literally my brother and my executive producer Fabian that was the only visitors allowed. And it was so funny because Fabian's like, oh, I got you smoothies, like I want to make sure you're okay. Peter's like, they're all in their mask and their gown. And then Fabian like slowly turns the laptop and is like, oh, these are the pictures from the campaign shoot. Do you mind making selections? And I was like, oh my God, these look fabulous. Yeah, boom, 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 boom. I'm like, yes, fierce. Essa, in my hospital gown, and Peter has a video of me like in the hospital gown choosing my pictures. And I'm like, wait a damn minute. I mean, I did it because I think I was just bored and antsy, but it's not like I was physically
and
working,
excited.
But it was kind and excited for the images. But it was like so ironic to be in a hospital gown, like butt ass naked, and then Fabian being so slick and sly to slip the computer right into me and be like, do you mind making these selections for Sephora and
Wise?
I said, oh my God,
I love him.
That TikTok sound, if 1 + 1 is 2, and 2 + 2
yeah,
is 4. I was like, wait a damn minute. With my oxygen tank like hooked up in my nose.
It was just
so hilarious. But I wanted to talk about like identities too, because for me, I think up until that moment when I was sick, and just this year, even before I was sick, I was like, oh my God, it's Patrick Starr. I mean, you've seen the MAC collections. You've seen, you know, the fashion of Fashion Week.
Yes.
I've seen you at Fashion Week. And it's just like such a tornado that I realized, not to say that I was robbed of my 20s, but in my 20s, I spent a lot of my years since 22 working on Patrick Starr. And wearing the turban, wearing the makeup, the lashes, the contacts, gallivanting at events. And and then I think I turned 30, 31 in the pandemic, and I was like, when have I ever taken care of Patrick? When have I ever put Patrick first? And I think I had like a week or two of like, fuck Patrick Starr. I fucking hate him.
You were serving us like beard and growth?
Kind of, yeah.
I think, was gagging.
Yes, very much that time. And sometimes it's just like crazy to just take a step back and be like, bitch, you need to work on this part of you. It's almost like Sims, where you got to take care of this character and then that character and then this person. Because I feel like a lot of people wear multiple hats. You know, people have their personal
completely
self, they have their work self, they probably have their parent self, their sibling self, their child self, and I feel like we have to take care of each and every one before we lose it.
I completely agree. And it's even, it's so hard to do that as well when you have our just society in general telling you which one of those characters is more important, you know, which ones you need to be pushing out there a little bit more and giving 90% to this one and the rest to that one. And, you know, those ones will come back type of thing. But keeping that balance, you know, and constantly, not constantly, but often checking in with all parts of yourself, I think is, it's the most important and something that a lot of people have learned in the past few years, especially.
Right. You know, one celebrity that, I feel is that I don't give a fuck type of bitch, like I'm gonna take care of me, is Adele. Because just when you thought she was done making music, bitch loses weight. She's creating music again. She's like, I'm taking care of myself. You know?
Literally.
And she's now on the cover of Vogue. Yes. And she's like, no fucks given. I was just watching and listening to her in some interviews this morning, just like being a badass bitch and taking care of herself, because I mean her music is very emotional and empathetic, and
I'm interested to see this new album.
Do you have any celeb inspirations to you?
Oh, that's a good question. I mean, like, Queen Latifah is always my celeb inspo. Just of like her doing the damn thing.
You know, I binge watched Living Single.
Oh, yes. So good.
Iconic. Everyone, if you have not watched it, it's on Hulu.
The outfits.
Sickening. Love it.
Oh.
A lot of shows have knocked it off. Yeah. But epic.
Yes.
Epic.
But honestly, I feel like the people I look up to the most are just the people that I follow, like, on Instagram, whether they are, like, big or not big, whatever following size, that I feel are just being completely them, completely present, and completely honest, which I feel like so many people on, so many people in general about social media, it's fake. And I'm like, yeah, but if you are doing the watching, you can find the real authentic people that are really just changing things up.
We have a segment called Doing the Most. Do you want to play?
Yeah. What is this?
This is like a rapid fire. I have like, I think, four questions here. And it's called Doing the Most.
Doing the most, bitch.
Who do you think is doing the most?
In general?
In general.
Oh, shit. In a good way or a bad way?
Anyway.
Okay. I always think Rico Nasty is doing the most in the best way possible.
Okay.
Like, that's the shit I want to see.
Yes.
Constantly.
Glam.
I think, you know, the Kardashians are always doing the most in their most way. Though, in a great way, Kim was doing the most on Saturday Night Live.
Yes.
In that pink damn outfit, and girl looked fine.
And the writing was incredible.
I know. I watched the whole episode yesterday and I was too. Like, I don't really watch it. Yeah, I saw you were looking on Hulu. I really enjoyed it. It was funny.
Yeah, she did great.
Yeah, she did really, really great. I loved that. Who else is doing the most? I feel like in the same way that Rico is, Willow Smith is just going the fuck off in a beautiful way. The trans community is doing the most in the best fucking way. Yeah. And we need to be doing the most to support them.
Capital
absolutely.
T.
Absolutely.
That's good. Second question, rapid fire. What means the most to you?
The most to me is myself.
T.
Yeah.
T. This is a funnier one. When were you the most messy?
Oh, in my early 20s. A fucking mess. Truly.
Truly?
Truly
was it,
a mess.
Was it from our friend tequila or vodka?
Vodka. Oh my gosh. Oh,
vodka once vodka, upon a time. Never again.
Never. Never. I don't even drink now.
Friends know not to give me vodka.
Absolutely not.
What is the most expensive thing you have?
Probably this couch I'm sitting on.
You better lay.
Oh, honey. This thing, I was like, if I'm spending this money, it is going to be a bed. And that it is. You can fit a good 5 people on here. You can lay back there. You can lay right here.
Love it.
It's my favorite.
Love it. Well, thank you so much for chatting today on Say Yes to the Guest. I applaud you. We talked about like self-love, discovery, mental health.
Absolutely.
Just being a badass bitch. Where can everyone find you?
You can find me on Instagram at Jasmine J and on Twitter at Jasmine J. And my TikTok is called TikTok with about 4 eyes.
I love it. We'll chat soon. Well, I can't wait to see you.
Kiki. Yes.
And give a toast for you doing the most.
Also, so damn proud of you.
This
line with fashion to figure.
Thank you.
It is hot. It is like, it is serving all the drama.
Oh, love. Love,
yes.
Love it.
Yes. Absolutely.
More coming soon. Love you.
Yes, hon.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of Say Yes to the Guest. Make sure you subscribe to this podcast and follow at Say Yes to the Guest on all social platforms. Remember, you are successful. Now go out and be the bad bitch you truly are. Can't wait to chat with you next time. Bye.